We continue our learning lately. Nishmas David b'Menachem Unishim Chaim Yaakov and Pinchas Elio. We are in Shumos Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis. The previous Mishnah was dealing with when I want to separate Tahor produce as Truma for Tamei produce. This Mishnah is going to deal with the opposite. What's the halacha regarding separating Tamei produce on behalf of Tahor produce? Says the Mishnah, Ein Tormim Min HaTamei Al HaTahor. One is not permitted to separate from Tamei produce on behalf of Tahor produce. Why is this prohibited? Either the Chachamim made Gzeira, because what happens is now a Kohen who's going to receive the Truma can't eat it because it's Tamei. So Gzeira Durabanan, we don't want you to do this because the Kohen loses out. Or maybe it's Asur Midoraisa, based on a Pasuk Mikol Chelbo. We've quoted this in the past. Mikol Chelbo, we have to give the choicest to the Kohen. This is a violation if I'm taking Truma, Tamei Truma, and I'm going to give that to the Kohen. So this is not allowed. But Vim Taram, let's say I did it. B'di'evan, after the fact, I did separate Tamei Truma for Sadatim, which is Tor, Truma, so Truma, the Truma is effective. Now, one thing to keep in mind, we've mentioned this way in the past as well, and that is, although the Kohen can't eat it, but he can derive benefit from it. We spoke about olive oil, let's say. He can't eat it, but he can use it for burning. For fuel, obviously not as valuable as if you could be able to eat it. So the Mishnah here says, b'di'evit, if he did it b'shogeg, inadvertently, then the Truma is effective. He was unaware that the produce he had that he was designating as Truma was actually Tamei, so then it's going to be acceptable. Now, if it's Midrabanan, we can understand that very well. But even if it's Asur Midoraisa, the halacha is, even though Midoraisa I violated Mikol Chelbo, that doesn't necessarily mean that it would not be effective. And therefore, the Mishnah says that it's going to be permitted, even Midoraisa, in the sense that permitted Truma so Truma. What does it mean Truma so Truma? So, not so much permitted, but it means it has the status of Truma, and now it means that a non-Kohen cannot use it. If it were, let's say, oil, he can use it as fuel. B'di'evid, it is effective. However, umezid lo asa klum. But the Mishnah says, but if it's umezid, so then it's nothing. Now, when it came to the case of shogeg, so there is some discussion about when do we assume that we would call this truma effective when I separated tamei truma. The Bar Tanur, the Rambam as well say that when do we say when it's shogeg? We said mezid, it's not effective at all. If I did it b'shogeg, I separated tamei truma, it will have the status of truma. That's only true if we're speaking about a case where the produce that I designate as truma became tamei after it had gemar malacha. It had gemar malacha. There was a chiv of truma set in already. It was completely processed, and then it became tamei. Then we'll say separating out would be is effective. But if it was tamei even before it finishes processing, even before gemar malacha, so then we would not say a bidina that would be acceptable based on the pasuk reishis deganucha tiroshcha v'yitzarecha. The end of the pasuk says t10 lo. What does it mean? The gemar m'sacham adaf lamin gimel explains that the produce that becomes truma is only where it's t10 lo, where I can actually give it to the kohen and he can consume it, he can use it. But if I'm given, when I give it to him, it can only be used for fuel. So that's not what the pasuk is speaking about. So when I designate tamei produce as truma, so that's going to be ineffective, because that's assuming that it had the status of being tamei even before the end of the process. That's only when it was never fit to become edible as truma. But let's say it was suitable at some point. It was edible. And then only after, during the, and it was, and it did reach the stage where the chiv of truma set in. And only then it became tamei. So that's not what the pasuk is excluding, and therefore b'di'evit it would be acceptable. That's all in the case of shogeg. But mezid lo asa klum, then it's nothing. What does it mean it's nothing? The truma that he designated is completely disqualified. The chachamim have every right to do so, because they say, listen, you violated what we told you. We told you not to take tamei produce on behalf of Torah produce, and you did so. You separated his truma. So therefore, we're going to prohibit this. Now, the Gemara itself, the Gemara Yevamos on Daf Pei Tes, has a machlokes tanoim regarding this very issue. What does it mean, lo asa klum? So Rav Chista is of the opinion that the truma is completely ineffective. What does it mean? It means that not only is the produce that's remaining, that I separated truma from something tamei on behalf of something tor. So that which is tor has not been mesukan, has not been fixed. It's still considered tevel. But in addition to that, says Rav Chista, even the truma that I separated out does not have the truma status at all, and therefore a non-kohen, the zar, will be able to eat it, will be able to use it. But others claim, Rav Nosson Bar Oshai in the Gemara there says no. When did the Chachamim say this is an issue? The Chachamim said this is only a problem that the produce, the Tohar produce, on behalf of which I was separating out, that remains Tevel. But that Tamei Truma, the Tamei produce that I separated as Truma, so that is going to be considered Truma and has the status of Truma, and even though it doesn't fix anything, and of course I'm going to have to separate Truma again, but that truma itself cannot be given to a kohen. The Mishnah continues, V'chein ben Levi shahaya lo maaser tevel. You have a ben Levi, and he has maaser that's tevel. What's maaser that's tevel? He has his one-tenth, he has his maaser rishon, and it's still tevel because he hasn't yet separated trumas maaser from it, the tenth of a tenth that he has to give from his maaser. So it's still tevel. And the case under discussion is some debate about this, but we're going to assume we're talking about a case where where it's also a tumah issue. And the previous halacha was about tamei produce. So this is also speaking about tamei produce. And the Levi here is designating maaser rishon, that has his maaser rishon, and it is tamei. And what he does is he separates trumas maaser from his tamei maaser rishon for on behalf of Tohor Maaser Rishon, exactly what the Kohen was doing, or we were doing for the Kohen in terms of Truma. This is what the Ben Levi is doing with his Maaser Rishon. He has Maaser Rishon, that's Tamei. He separates Trumas Maaser out of that Tamei on behalf of other Maaser Rishon that needs Trumas Maaser separated from it, but that's Tohor. So the Mishnah says the same thing. And the Mishnah says, Haya Mafrish Allah Vaholech, Shogeg Masha Asa Asui. If he did it b'shogeg, that which is done is done. And Mezid Lo Asa Klum. But if he did it b'mezid, so then it is nothing. So that's the Mishnah. That's the way to understand the Mishnah. Similar halacha that we said with respect to the Kohen, separating Truma, the same thing is true when it comes to Trumas Maaser. There's a lot of discussion on that halacha, but here we're just simplifying it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Haya Yodea Bo Batchila, if, Rabbi Yehuda says, if he was aware that this produce was Tamei, but then forgot about it. They kept talking about the Levi, the Ben Levi. He knew it was Tamei to begin with, but then forgot. And then did his designation separated the Trumas Maaser. And by the way, we could talk about the previous case as well. Truma for other produce, that is Tahor. So then Rabbi Yehuda believes that's not a shogeg. Afal Pisha, who shogeg lo asa klum. He, Rabbi Yehuda, compares one who forgets with one who's negligent. So since he knew originally that it was tummy, but then he forgot about it, that's considered negligence. And therefore, even though we may give him, we call him shogeg, lo asa klum, then it's nothing. What does nothing mean? So once again, that's a debate what nothing means. Either we certainly know that he doesn't fix that which he would like to. The only question is that which he separated out, what does that mean? Is it lo asa v'lo klum just on the tohor produce? But that which he separated out is considered, has the status of trumor trumas maser, or even that is not considered anything and a zar can eat that because it's absolutely lo asa v'lo klum. Even that which he separated out is considered nothing. We are in Perek Beis Mishnah Gimel, Hamatbil Kalim Bishabbos. So we're going to, because of the previous Mishnah discussing differences between when someone does something b'shogeg inadvertently versus mezid when he does it on purpose, so we're going to get into an area of halacha when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos where we also have a distinction between shogeg and mezid. Person who is matbil kalim b'shabbos, he has utensils and they have to go to the mikvah. So we usually bring a kalim to the mikvah when we bought them from a non-Jew. They have to go through their gerus process, their conversion process. They have to go into the mikvah. But in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, those people were bringing kalim to the mikvah all the time because they were tamei and they had to be purified in order to use them. So there is a halach, the Mishnah and Beitzah discusses bringing kalim to the mikvah on Shabbos and Yafir, which is prohibited because halachically fixing them. This is a makeh bipatish midrabanan, tikkun kli, tikkun mana, what we call it. So here, the person violated the halacha, and he brought the kalim to the mikvah on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, shogeg, if he did it b'shogeg inadvertently, he forgot it was Shabbos, let's say. Yishtamesh b'hem, he's allowed to use them. Now, the author of the Mishnah is that of Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir holds that since he did it b'shogeg, he's able to use those kalim even on that Shabbos. Not a problem. They're considered tohor. He didn't do it deliberately. So that's why he's able to use them on Shabbos. But mezid, lo yishtamesh b'hem. But if he did it with mezid, then he put them in the mikvah. He knew it was Shabbos. I need these kalim. I know I'm not allowed to put them in the mikvah, but it's not such a big deal. Just putting them in water. So he's not permitted to use them, those utensils on Shabbos. Assuming he's using them for tohor items, if I'm not if for tameh items, so I could have used them for tameh items even before I put them in the mikvah. But after Shabbos, he's able to use them. Important for us to know that this is not the halacha. There is actually three remachlokas on this issue, and we'll discuss the issue when it comes to mevashel b'Shabbos in a second. But Rabbi Yehuda is more strict. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that if this is done be shogeg, so the person who did this himself is not permitted to use them on Shabbos. He can use them after Shabbos. And if he did it b'mezid, where this Mishnah says he's able to use them after Shabbos but not on Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda would say, no, he's not allowed to use them at all, ever. Mishnah continues, similar halacha, ha-ma'aser v'ha-mevashel b'Shabbos. A person who separates maaser, which is also fixing midrabanan. We mentioned that before. Maaser may fall into the category of sanctify some to the Beis HaMikdash, which is also prohibited on Shabbos, under the category of mekach u'memkar, buying and selling. V'hamar vashel b'Shabbos, which we know cooking on Shabbos is actually a din d'oraisa, so the first din d'oraisa mentioned in this Mishnah. The Mishnah says the same thing. This is Rabbi Meir's opinion, although his name is not quoted. He is the anonymous Tana. Shogei Yochal, if he separates the maaser, let's talk about the cooking case. He cooks something on Shabbos, b'shogeg, according to Rabbi Yochal, he's able to eat it on that Shabbos. Mezid lo yochal, mezid, he's not permitted to eat it on that Shabbos, he'd have to wait until after Shabbos. In this case as well, Rabbi Yehuda, this is a famous halacha discussed in Siman Shin Yud Ches and Hilchos Shabbos about what are the halachas of getting hanah, getting benefit from people doing malacha on Shabbos. This happens. Sometimes people go away for meals on Shabbos and people may be doing things wrong and you may not have done the malacha, but now can I get benefit from that which is being cooked on Shabbos against halacha? So these are real questions. So here Rabbi Yehuda is more strict as well. And Rabbi Yehuda would say if you cook on Shabbos yourself, You wouldn't be able to use that b'shogeg even. You could only use that after Shabbos. If it's b'mezid, Rabbi Yehuda would say, you can't eat it after Shabbos like Rabbi Meir. You can't eat it at all. Lo yochal. Others may be able to eat it, but you are not permitted to eat it. If it's b'shogeg, others can eat it on Shabbos, but you cannot. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion against Rabbi Meir, who's more lenient. There is in Maseches Chulin and Daf Tezvav, this is discussed as a third opinion, which we didn't mention, but this is discussed. And there, Rashi makes the following comment. Rashi says that when we speak about the fact that you or who's you're able to, after Shabbos, let's say you did it amazing. According to Rabbi Meir, after Shabbos, on Shabbos, you can't eat that which you cook, but after Shabbos, you can. How long do you have to wait after Shabbos? So the simple understanding of the Mishnah is right after Make Havdalah. Right after Shabbos, you can get benefit from it. But Rashi makes the point you have to wait what we call Bechdei Shayasu, the amount of time it would take to do that malacha. Maybe it takes take 15 minutes to cook that item. Maybe it would take an hour. You'd have to wait an hour. Why? Because we don't want you to benefit from the malacha of Shabbos. We don't want you to maybe think in the future, maybe I'll have I'll cook or something on that. I benefit because, you know, if I do this on Shabbos, I can eat it after Shabbos a minute later. I don't have to wait, that long for an hour in order to cook it. So Rashi uses and many in the Rishonim disagree, and La Halacha, we don't accept that, Rashi, that Bechdei Sheyasu is only a concept that we employ when it comes to where a non-Jew did Malacha for us. A non-Jew did Malacha, or brought something from outside of the Tchum, or something like that. So there we would have to wait the amount of time it would take to do the Malacha, in order that we don't ask a non-Jew to do it in the future. But if we're speaking about someone himself or a Jew who's done the malacha, the concept of Bechdei Sheyasu is not necessary. Mishnah continues, Hanotea b'Shabbos, person who plants on Shabbos, is also a malacha that we're not permitted to do. Shogeg, Yekayim, Mezid Yakor. Very similar. Shogeg, you're able to keep the item without destroying it. But amazed, if you did it amazed, Yakor, you would be obligated to uproot it. Ubashvius, and when it comes to Shemitah, Bain Shogeg, Bain Mazid, Yakor. If it's Shemitah, we're actually more strict when it comes to Shemitah. People are not as meticulous when it comes to the laws of Shemitah, so there we're strict. If someone plants something in the Shemitah year, we're more strict than we are on Shabbos, because people take Shabbos seriously, but Shemitah not as much. So Bain Shogeg, Bain Mazid, even if you plant a tree, Shogeg Yakor, you have to uproot it from the ground. One interesting question that should be raised on the halacha that we mentioned earlier in terms of Bishul B'Shabbos, etc. The pasuk says, "Lo sochal kol toeva." In Pashas Re'eh, the Gemara learns in Maseches Chulin and Daf Kuf Yudalid a general rule that any food that has been prepared through a violation of a din d'oraisa is not permitted to be eaten. When it comes to Shabbos, it seems, however, that that's an exception. If a person cooks on Shabbos, that is a Torah violation. So it's true, we could understand there is a difference. Lo sochal kol toeva, that's an isur chetza on an animal, something that's not kosher. Shabbos, it's kosher food. But nonetheless, the answer that's given in order to explain this is as follows. When it comes to Shabbos, the pasuk says, Ushmartem es haShabbos ki kodesh hi lochem. What does that come to? What does the pasuk imply? That ki kodesh hi lachem. Shabbos is kodesh. Shabbos, the day is holy. The day is sanctified. But the products of Shabbos or the activities of Shabbos are not sanctified, are not consecrated, are not forbidden. And therefore, even though Shabbos is a day with very severe Torah violations, potential Torah violations, nonetheless, that which was made or cooked or on Shabbos, an activity that was done, nonetheless, it's not going to be Asr Bahana or Asr Bahachila at some point, depending on who it is. Maybe it's other people, Machlokas 3, Machlokas Tanoim, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that item, that food is going to be prohibited.